Okay, so this is third part, I believe. And we're looking at Proverbs 27, and this one's titled, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Verses 9 to 16. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproaches me. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange wound. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hides her hides the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Christ is our friend, our mighty counselor, as it says in Isaiah 9:6, who provides hearty counsel if we are blessed to be given a hunger and thirst for it in this age. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:6. And Jesus in John 6, verse 35 says, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." And that's what we mean when we say Christ is our sufficiency. The Father drags us to him for that reason, to strengthen us, to give us a sense of peace and all that we need. He is our sufficiency. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That counsel when received of our Father in heaven will make our hearts burn within us with gratefulness and joy, knowing what a privilege we've been given to hear his voice. It is those who read and hear and keep the sayings of the prophecy who Christ identifies as being blessed, as these verses below demonstrate." Matthew 13, verse 16 and 17. There's quite a few more, but I just put in a few. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Matthew 16, verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Revelation 16, verse 15. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So the indication there is that God already knows who's blessed, and he's telling us we are blessed to see, and that these are the conditions that the world will find when Christ comes back. Very few, there will be very little faith when Christ comes back. It'll be as in the days of Noah or in the days of Lot, but faith will be found because God has determined that that faith will be within the body of Christ. Luke 12, verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Revelation 22, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps us, that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." As discussed last week, God will reward those who diligently seek him. And if we're blessed to continue in the truth, it will set us free and provide us the ability to set others free with the spiritual words of life that can quicken us and in due time cause others' hearts to burn with joy, with the joy of knowing our Lord and God's plan of salvation. John 6, verse 63, "It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, "Take heed unto yourself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and them that hear thee." Just go back for a second, Revelation, up, I should say. Last night's study, we were reading, Mike was mentioning in that article how all things are for us. It's not just the good things, it's the bad things, it's the trials, it's the destruction. And that's the blessing of keeping the sayings of the prophecy of the book, Matthew 24, and that's reiterated in Revelation as being the patience and the faith of the saints. So we need to have that understanding that God's telling us we're the first to realize that it's a blessing to go through his judgment. And we need to take heed unto ourselves, unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, you shall save yourself and them that hear you. Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, keeping the doctrines, like he said. Ephesians 2 verse 8 reminds us that we are truly at God's mercy as we receive this gift of salvation, and the world will one day understand Luke 17 verse 10 that is applicable to those few who God has ordained to be a kind of first fruits who will be scarcely saved, enduring to the end by being granted to have hearts that burn within us while he talks with us by the way. And while he opens to us the scriptures, of course, Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise you, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And that's really acknowledging that it was Christ working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 9, ointment, it's H8081, and perfume, H7004. Rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Christ in us is that ointment and perfume that rejoices the heart, as every joint supplies in love to the edifying and building up of the body of Christ. With Christ's life in us and via the pruning and purging of sin in our lives, a zealousness and sweetness is formed, the fruit of his righteousness that provides hearty counsel. This friend is our hope of glory within Jesus Christ, who we are to each other by hearty counsel. I'll read Acts 2:28 first. And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Exodus 31 verse 11, in the anointing oil, H8081, that's the ointment, and sweet incense, that's the perfume, for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Isaiah 10 verse, so Christ is that holy place. That's what we're learning. And of course, Christ in us is the one who makes it possible for us to be that savory sacrifice, that sweet sacrifice unto God. Isaiah 10, verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And Christ's burden is light, and that's what that's telling us, that with the Holy Spirit, it's not by might or power, but by God's Holy Spirit. And that's the value and the blessing of having that Spirit working in our lives. 1 John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man, any carnal man, teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And that, of course, what Christ promised, that the Comforter would lead us into all truth. And of course, we're learning from each other. It's not just by our own personal study and relationship with Christ. That's part of it. But God uses the whole body. Each joint supplies to the building up of the body in love. Ephesians 4:16 tells us that. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into your brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. On a practical human level, this proverb reminds us to value faithful friends and dependable neighbors, especially in times of need. Spiritually, however, it points us to Jesus Christ, our eternal friend and our hope of glory within, who never abandons us. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7 and 8. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Being prepared spiritually is typified by the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's the process of judgment. Those three men who, as a result of that spiritual preparedness, had the boldness needed in the day of adversity to stand, having done all. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Daniel 6, verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. There's a three again, the process of judgment that we go through that strengthens us and prepares us for whatever the Lord sets before us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Verse 11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproaches me. If we cleave unto Christ and resist the devil, he will flee from us, and we will be given to wisely answer or not answer those who reproach us in this life. Satan is the ultimate accuser of the brethren and the one who continues to reproach the body of Christ. So we can overcome, just a second here, so that we can overcome through Jesus Christ, quenching every fiery dart that is thrown by the devil. Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer, what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's interesting. That's when salvation comes for us. It's a process, but God restores the joy of his salvation within us. And this is the means by which he does it. He gives us power over the enemy. Lord willing, we are being prepared and overcoming the wicked one. And if God will permit, that is exactly what will happen due to the wisdom of Christ and the faith and strength that he can give us to make us more than conquerors through him. Romans 8, verses 37 to 39. Nay, in all these things, we read these verses a lot, but the context of what we're talking about here should very make it very bright. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ has prophesied that the elect will be made ready as the wise virgins. My son, Be wise and make my heart glad. And the unwise will be overtaken by the reproach of the devil that will corrode the love of many and cause iniquity to abound. This is all according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And so we are warned to not be high-minded of this victory of salvation that God has promised his children at the expense of the world's unbelief. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And Romans 8:28, for we know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Matthew 24, verse 48 to 50. And if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that iniquity is to eat and drink with the drunken. That's just saying that we start depending on our flesh again, and we're being found with our own righteousness and not the righteousness of Christ. Romans 11, verses 18 to 22. Boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Verse 12, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. We've just discussed the evil that Christ prophesied is going to abound at the end of this age, and the solution to overcoming is to hide ourselves in Christ, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The simple pass on implies that the mind of Christ is not present in this person. And as a result, they will forsake the body and will be punished by being saved, yet so as by fire in the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14 and 15, and this is really the severity and goodness of God. God could have reversed the roles, but he's doing things the way that he's doing them. And that's really a humbling lesson for all of humanity. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, meaning the salvation of all is being discussed there. Verse 13, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. If someone is taking responsibility for a stranger's debt or getting involved with a risky person, don't trust them blindly. Make sure there's some guarantee or security so you don't end up losing out. That's the practical, physical meaning of this proverb. The spiritual lesson is that we all end up losing out at first in Babylon, as per God's design, when we invest in her garment wholeheartedly, without considering how this leaven of the Pharisees is going to affect us. It is Christ alone who can become the pledge for us as we are dragged out of Babylon and brought into remembrance of all the false doctrines that reside in her, that we now have to overcome the rest of our lives. We take her gold and silver, the words of God wrapped around the idol of our hearts, and if God is working with us in this age, he will purify those words and set us free from the past harlotries that had us in bondage. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through your truth, your word is truth. And then Proverbs 7, verse 7 to 12, and beheld, among the simple ones I discern among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lies at wait at every corner. And this, of course, is talking about the church, Babylon, and the multitude of churches that are out there. Leviticus 19:29, we looked at this last week, I think. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom. And the land is our bodies, and that's exactly what's happened to the nations. There's so many different denominations. Christ is divided, and God looks at that as whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. Proverbs 27, verse 14. He that bless his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. The friend we bless early in the morning with a loud voice is a parable relating to our relationship with Christ, who we want to be our friend early in the morning from our first coming to know him in Babylon. The problem is we are cursed because that is all we want to know. Christ crucified for us on a cross for our sins, not yet identifying our need to be crucified with him in these early morning stages of our walk in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Colossians 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Verses 15 and 16, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hides her hides the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. These verses describe the church as a contentious, argumentative woman who is yet carnal and likened unto a continual dropping in a very rainy day, which means we have many words at that time, ever searching, but not mature enough to rightly divide the word and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 2 to 6, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hebrews 5, verse 13 and 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So that's that process of judgment we're talking about. It's the only way that the body of Christ can mature. And Moses says that he in type and shadow, because Moses is going to be in the lake of fire, he has to be judged, but he recognized the value of suffering with the people of God, and he esteemed that as being very valuable because God had him say those words for our benefit to make us realize that he was not afraid of the king. He wasn't afraid of, as we're not afraid of Satan. He's just telling us, no, we're more than conquerors through Christ. It's all type and shadow, but he's blessing us with these comments because he's showing us the privilege to be able to have a heart and mind to realize this is of great value to be in this process of judgment, to suffer with the people of God. We hide the truth in this immature state, and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself, refers to how, although we are heirs with the unction given to us, which is written in 1 John 2, verse 20, having his Holy Spirit, the ointment of his right hand, and being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1, verse 13. However, because we are yet carnal, that ointment on our right hand bewrayeth or discloses our immaturity. Galatians 4, verses 1 to 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In the days of his flesh, that's interesting because in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5, verse 7 says, Christ cried out and he was heard in that, and that he feared God. And this is saying the same thing now, but for us, we, because God sent forth his spirit into our hearts, we cry out, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And it's all through Christ. In conclusion, these proverbs reveal that the ointment and perfume which rejoices the heart is Christ in us, our hope of glory. Through him, we are being fashioned as God's workmanship, growing and maturing into steadfast, unmovable servants of the living God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Though we begin in weakness and partial understanding, God is faithful to complete his work in us through the pruning, purging, and much tribulation we must go through in order to endure unto the end with the faith of Christ. Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of his disciples, of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Hebrews 12, verse 2 to 4. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Nothing can separate us from his love. We know that in Romans 8, verse 35 to 37, expressed by his giving us the power to drink indeed of my cup. And as we abide in him and receive his hearty counsel, we are not only finding liberty, but are also being prepared to set the world free as saviors that will come up on Mount Zion. And the last few verses, Acts 5, verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Hebrews 5, verse 7 and 8, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And of course, as he is, so are we in this world. Ephesians 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Obadiah 1, verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdoms shall be the Lord's. And that's our study for tonight. Thank you all for coming out. Hope you were encouraged.